Have an iPad, an iPhone, or an iPod Touch? You can now access this podcast on demand wherever you are, anytime through the PRI app. Listen to recent episodes or catch the world and other PRI programs live each day while on the go. Search under PRI in the iTunes App Store or simply click the link at theworld.org.
Hi there, Jeb Sharp here with How We Got Here, number 43.
It was unprecedented catastrophe. They perished, serving their country on their way to commemorate thousands of Polish officers killed during Second World War in Katyn. History has dramatically come full circle.
That's former Polish Prime Minister Jerzy Buzek at a ceremony honoring the victims of last Saturday's plane crash in Russia. The crash killed the Polish president and a number of other prominent Poles. They were on their way to commemorate the 1940 massacre of Polish officers at a place called Katyn. It's a village near Smolensk in present-day Russia. The crash made the place seem doubly cursed. On this episode of How We Got Here, we'll hear what happened in 1940 and how that Stalin-era atrocity has resonated in the years since. First, I just need to tell you that How We Got Here is associated with PRI's The World. The World is a radio program about all things global. It's a co-production of the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH in Boston. You can find the radio program online at theworld.org, and you can find this podcast about the history behind the headlines at theworld.org/history. To find out more about Katyn and how important it is to the Polish psyche and to relations between Poland and Russia, I turn to John Connolly. He's a professor of history at the University of California at Berkeley. He studies Central and Eastern Europe. He lived in Poland for 3 years. My interview with Professor Connolly runs about 20 minutes, and he begins the story in 1939 at the outset of World War II.
In August of 1939, the German government and the Soviet government signed a non-aggression treaty, and there was a secret protocol to the non-aggression treaty by which the two sides agreed to divide control of Poland so that after the Nazis attacked, which most Americans know about, on September 1st of 1939 and September 17th, the Soviets attacked from the east and they occupied, you know, up to beyond a third of eastern Poland and made it part of the Soviet Union. And there were non-Polish, ethnically non-Polish people in that part of Poland, but there were many millions of ethnic Poles, and they were subjected to a regime of Sovietization. They were forbidden to use their culture to you know, their political parties and organizations were dissolved. But central to the story of Katyn is of course, that 20,000 members of the Polish officer corps were arrested, and then they were transported out of Poland and the borders of that time and sent into the Soviet Union. And contact with them broke off sometime in the spring of 1940, 20,000 officers, and their families ceased getting letters from them, and there was a big question mark from that point, what happened to them, right? So this is spring of 1940. Poland is occupied by both the Soviet Union and Nazi Germany, and then, as we know, in June of 1941, the Nazis break that non-aggression treaty and they attack the Soviet Union, and they then occupy the rest of Poland while taking significant chunks of the Soviet Union. In 1943, there's news from Radio Berlin that the Germans have uncovered a mass grave of Polish army officers. They invite an international team from Europe, from a number of countries, some neutral, some under their own control, to investigate, and it's determined that these officers were killed while the area was under Soviet control, and they dated pretty accurately, and they have forensic evidence and letters and mementos and all kinds of evidence that they bring forth to indicate that this crime had taken place while the area, that area of the Soviet Union, that's near the city of Smolensk in the far west of Russia, and in particular around the village of Katyn, that there were these mass graves of officers. And at that point, of Polish officers, the Polish government in exile in London requested that the International Red Cross itself investigate as a neutral body. And at that point, the Soviet Union under Stalin broke off relations with the Polish government in exile in London and began creating its own communist-dominated Polish government, which then seized power in Poland beginning a year later when the Red Army began pushing back the Germans on its way to Berlin. So, and since that time, Katyn has been a problem between the Poles, the Polish people, and the government of the Soviet Union, and now the government of Russia. The post-war Polish government, which was a Soviet-imposed communist government, claimed that the Germans had murdered these officers, and that was the line that was also supported from the Soviet Union all the way till 1990, that it had been a crime committed, that there had been a mass murder of Polish officers, but it had been carried out by the Nazis and not by the Soviets. And only in 1990 did then the Soviet government under Gorbachev admit that it had been a crime of Stalin and his secret police, the NKVD.
Why would Stalin kill all those Polish officers?
Well, we don't have, to my knowledge, we do have evidence that he himself ordered it. So we know that he was behind it personally. But we don't have a record of his thinking. We have to reconstruct that. But it fits in with a series of other measures in which he acted to weaken Poland by weakening its elite. In 1938, Stalin liquidated the Polish Communist Party, which should have been an allied party. He closed it down and killed all of its leaders who happened to be seeking refuge in Moscow. We know also from after that event that when the Red Army was about to liberate Warsaw in 1944, its soldiers stood by while the Nazis crushed an uprising of the Polish population, in which the Polish elite was also heavily involved. So we see a pattern here of trying to weaken Poland and its ability to govern itself. And the remarkable thing about these officers that's not well known in the West is that they were largely reserve officers. That is, they weren't professional military officers. They were people who in normal everyday life had other professions. And the way that the armies work in Central Europe, those reserve officers tend to be from the cultural, political, professional elites. They were people who in normal civilian life were engineers and doctors and lawyers, top businessmen, professors, writers, painters, right? The top people who basically are thought in that region of the world to constitute the soul of a nation, the conscience of a nation, right? The most educated, the most respected people, men in this case, of society. And so the feeling in Poland is that it was an act that was meant to cripple Poland and weaken it and ultimately destroy it as a nation. So that's the popular view in Poland, and I think there's some historical justification for believing that it was indeed an act whose purpose was to weaken and cripple and ultimately destroy the ability of Poles to govern themselves.
And when the news, when there was finally the admission that it was Stalin's crime came about, were there any reparations? Were there any consequences? Is there any sense of the victims having had some measure of justice?
No, and there was an investigation that was launched under Yeltsin, so in the mid-90s, that was concluded 2004, and essentially the Soviet side views the case as being closed and completed. They were able to identify over 1,000 Polish victims, for sure, based on their own evidence, but they didn't go about trying to identify any of the perpetrators of the crime or make amends. And this is one of the problems for the Polish side currently, is that the current Russian government has said that it regrets and condemns the killing, but not that it's taken any responsibility for making amends or making an apology. Although I do believe Boris Yeltsin, when he was in government, did himself apologize. Currently, the Polish side hopes that there will be perhaps a stronger statement on the part of President Putin, though I have to confess, given the events of the last week, I think the Poles are simply astounded by Putin's own evident sympathy with the most recent tragedy. So we'll wait to see what happens. But Putin's view is basically that this was a crime of Stalinism, but that the current Russian government no longer represents a Soviet form of rule. It's no longer a totalitarian dictatorship, that it condemns the crimes of that dictatorship, that the crime of Katyn was not something that represents the will of ordinary Russians, and therefore it would be inappropriate for them to issue an apology because they don't feel guilty. So there's a sort of a standoff on this question. But no, the families of the victims have not been compensated.
And, you talked earlier about how striking it is, the degree of mourning that's going on in Russia as a result of this event. What's that about? Why is it surprising in the first place, and what do you think is happening?
Well, it's something that, as many things in Russia, it certainly comes from the top. That is, there is a sense by Putin immediately of the need to express sympathy with this catastrophe. He flew immediately to Smolensk after the accident. He put himself at the head of an investigating committee. He received the Polish prime minister, who is really the head of government, Donald Tusk. He publicly embraced him. Coming from a man who's held in deep suspicion in Poland, who is not known for warmth, these were amazing acts. And then the Russian leadership then caused their television station under their control to air a film by Andrzej Wajda. I don't know if you're familiar with this film a couple of years ago called Katyn, which is a really very well done dramatization of not only Katyn but the fate of Poles and a Polish family caught up in the war, both under the rule of the Germans and the Soviets. This film was shown right after the Russian news. I believe it was either on Saturday or Sunday night, but it was the best possible viewing time, assuring that millions of Russians would be watching it. And this is a film that had not been shown in Russian theaters when it came out. It had been shown once on TV, but at a time when few people would be watching and now it was shown in prime time. So that it's clear that the Russian government wanted its, or permitted at least its people to become acquainted with this tragedy. And I think that's really quite remarkable, because the film is a brutally honest film. It shows that not only were the Germans involved in destroying Poland, which is a well-known story, the Nazis had these policies of genocide toward the Polish people and the population of Poland, Jews, Poles and people of other ethnicities from 1939 onward, but that the Russians, or I should say the Soviet army and the secret police were intimately involved in also prosecuting policies which can only be called genocidal, Katyn being the best known. But in the film you see how the Soviets were not only ultimately the victors over the Germans, but in the first couple of years of the war they were close allies, and they cooperated carefully on what happened on Polish territory. All of this was shown in prime time throughout Russia, and I think that was an extraordinary step on the part of the Russian government. Putin also personally appeared at the airport when President Kaczynski's coffin was sent to Poland, and the Russian president, Medvedev, he placed a statement translated into Polish, in the Polish language, on the website of the Kremlin, expressing the deep sympathy of the Russian people, a first in history, that there was a communication in Polish on the website of the Kremlin, and they declared the Russian government a day of mourning on Monday. So these are all events. Many Russians spontaneously went to the Polish embassy very soon after the tragedy, placing flowers in front of the wall of the Polish embassy. Poles who live in Russia have reported themselves receiving flowers. It just seems this is a tragedy that the Russians and the Poles in some way feel unites them. And that's one thing that is completely unexpected, just as a tragedy itself, but may point in a new direction.
And the commemoration itself that this group of Poles was flying to, was it an unusual one? I mean, had it ever happened before that so many dignitaries had been headed to do an annual commemoration? I mean, presumably it was a big one because it was the 70th, but do you have a sense of that, how that piece of the story, in terms of how it's been commemorated and how people have been welcomed or not welcomed to the site, has played out over time?
Well, you know, beginning in the Gorbachev years, there were actually delegations of Poles who were permitted. So at the very end, so the late 1980s, there were delegations of Poles who were permitted to go to Katyn after the Soviet side admitted that the crime had been committed by Soviet forces, including the American academic and former advisor to national security advisor to President Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski, was there. I think it was in 1989. So it has been possible for Poles and Poles living in exile as well to visit Katyn as a memorial that was constructed, I believe, under Yeltsin at the site, and other camps. There were other places where Poles were murdered besides simply Katyn. So it's been possible for Poles to go, but to my knowledge, there hasn't been until this year this major commemoration involving members of the Polish government and the Russian government. But it should be noted that there was an event last week which involved Prime Minister Putin and his Polish counterpart Tusk. Donald Tusk was invited. They flew out on the same airplane that crashed on Saturday with a delegation, a government delegation involving historians and politicians and journalists. So the official commemoration from both sides actually had taken place a couple of days before the crash of President Kaczynski. Kaczynski was not invited to that first event, so he was going off on his own, more or less. But, you know, with the blessings of the Russian side, and this was going to be an event taking place among Poles, but involving members of the families who lost loved ones at Katyn, as well as a number of important Polish politicians from all parties, historians and the like. So it was a second group, actually. And you're right, it's because of the 70th anniversary that there was a sense that this should happen. There are going to be more 70th anniversary events as we move forward in the coming years. So this is one of them. And I imagine there will be many more.
Many more, and I bet people will fly on separate planes.
Well, that's right. The Poles apparently are checking into their regulations governing, you know, the possibility of a number of high leaders flying at the same time. But, you know, the army leadership and the leadership of the armed forces was mostly on board the plane with President Kaczynski. But to my knowledge, no government minister, the foreign minister, the prime minister, nobody actually in the president government was on board. It did, however, tend to overrepresent, the victims tended to overrepresent the conservative party of the president himself, so that party has been dramatically weakened.
Is there, can you think of any analogy to this crash?
Well, you know, when I was reading on the last couple of days on this event, there have been other events in which leaders of state have crashed. It tends to be rather infrequent because usually leaders of state get the best possible equipment and fly into the best possible conditions. But in the Polish past, again, one of these tragic ironies, the head of the Polish government in exile, General Sikorski, he's the person who was the head of this government when Stalin broke off relations. He was the man who actually wanted the International Red Cross to investigate what had been uncovered by the Nazis at Katyn. He crashed in July of 1943, so a couple of months after the Nazis discovered the crime at Katyn, he himself crashed off Gibraltar into the sea. You know, again, it had a kind of an eerie resonance for many people looking at the current events that the head of state who wanted to investigate Katyn was himself a victim of an air crash, and then many years later, the head of state who wants to commemorate Katyn himself becomes a victim of an air crash. That's why the one former Polish president Kwasniewski said that this is a cursed place. So that's a historic parallel that's in people's minds.
Anything else that you've been mulling over or that has jumped out at you or that you see missing in the coverage? Just any last thoughts?
Well, maybe just one last thing about the subject of history and why this event is so important in Paul's memory. Something that Russians themselves have wondered about, who knew very little about the events and now know much more thanks to, watching of Andrzej Wajda's film. Why in a war that consumed so many millions of victims, including 6 million Polish citizens, 3 million of whom were Jewish, but 3 million of whom were not. So millions of Poles died in World War II. Why these 20,000 officers? Why were they so prominent in people's memory? And it has to do precisely with this fact that these were thought of as in some ways representative of the best that was Poland. It's top writers, intellectuals, professionals, political leaders, and the like, that there was this attempt to do away with Poland, that the world didn't know about it, and that it was forcibly suppressed for so many years. And only last year, the Polish parliament voted a statement labeling Katyn as a genocide, as an attempt to kill an entire people. So it's viewed as being, in some ways, representative of a series of policies leveled against Poland in the 1940s, attempting to destroy Poland, and that's something that in a country that's been so touched by history, where people don't think of history as something abstract, but they think of history as something that can really determine the conditions under which you live, which can suddenly do away with the town you live in almost entirely, the way Warsaw was wiped off the map. Literally wiped off the map in the 1940s, that these are things that need to be known, and they need to be voiced, and they need to be debated. So I think if you learn more about the events surrounding Katyn, and I highly recommend that movie by Andrzej Wajda, by the way, it's much more interesting than I myself thought it would be. It's obviously a very serious and difficult film, but it's wide ranging. It goes far beyond simply the events at Katyn to tell you a lot about modern Polish and European history. I think if you learn more about Katyn, then you understand why this is something that remains alive in the Polish mind, even 70 years later.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Okay.
And I think, that's sort of how I feel listening to you, that this horrible as it was is perhaps a way in for people at least to begin to understand Poland.
Well, the irony is that, without this crash, the event of Katyn would have remained known to very, very few Russians, a small minority of, a couple of percentage points. But now it's going to be more broadly known. The good thing about the film is they also show that Russians, and so other Soviet citizens suffered under the Soviet regime. They weren't simply involved in supporting it, but they also were victims. So there's a way in which, as the Russian government now currently argues, there were many victims of Stalinism, but I think it's also clear from the film that in a very special way the Soviet government targeted the Polish nation, so that the Poles, although they're victims among victims, they have a special status of victimhood. But I think the more one finds out about these events, the more the more one finds them absorbing, deeply absorbing, and the more one wants to discover. But a good starting point is really this, and I don't want to make myself sound like a spokesman for Andrzej Wajda, but he's had some hits and misses over the years. This is a really excellent film.
That's John Connolly, professor of history at the University of California at Berkeley. I will post some links to information about the Andrzej Wajda film Katyn, as well as to news coverage of the plane crash and its ramifications at the How We Got Here page at theworld.org/history. history. You can post comments and questions there, too. Again, it's theworld.org/history, or you can post them at the How We Got Here Facebook page. If you prefer, you can email me directly as well. That address is howwegothere@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. I will speak to you soon. I'm Jeb Sharp, signing off from the World Newsroom in Boston.